chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us all together for our annual Thanksgiving meeting. Thank God for Sunday school this morning. That was good. I like how he got us in a chapter we was all familiar with like that. That was really special this morning. Thank God for that. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. As you look down at verse 13. Apostle Paul, writing here under the inspiration of God, says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
He points out this one thing I do. There are two thieves that will try to steal your joy. They're called the past and the future. And the future is uncertain because we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't have all the details. And as sure as we say we know what the details are, God has a sense of humor. He'll change your plans just to suit him and not you, just as sure as the world. But the other thing that will try to rob you, that other thief, I want to preach to you about this morning, about the past. And I'll preach to you on this thought about, don't let the past rob the present. Don't let the past rob the present. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, God. We thank you, Lord, for the time to be in the house of God. And we pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts and lives and help us, Lord God, to follow you. I pray you'd help me to preach today, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word against an in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I pray, God, that you'll move on every heart and every head today, Lord God, and help us, God, to understand what's being said and to take it into our hearts and live it, Lord. And I pray Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law for us." In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. As we look at this thing in Philippians chapter 3, I like how he says, "I count not myself to have apprehended." I would to God that Christians all over the place right now would understand the simple truth in this one right here. None of us have arrived.
Amen.
We have not got to the place where we don't need anybody else. We've not gotten to the place where we don't need God. We've not gotten to the place where we don't need the Bible. And we sure have not gotten to the place where we don't need to hear the Word of God preached.
Amen.
I've had people tell me, they say, "Well, who preaches to the preacher?" Well, preachers preach to preachers. Amen. And I found over the years, Brother Mitch, the most difficult crowd in the world to preach to is preachers. They're more critical, they're awful, they're judgmental, and that's their good qualities.
Amen.
And you talking about people getting offended, I can go preach to a group of preachers that walk around with a pooch lip for a month, but I preach to any other congregation the same message. It's the best message they've ever heard. God sent it to them, and it's just like God spoke it to them. Ain't that something?
Amen.
It's like a pastor had me one time, and I preached and preached just a message out of the Bible, and he said this. He said, "I thought everybody was going to hate you." He said, "I wasn't sure." He said, "But that 35-minute invitation, them three people getting saved, sure was convincing." What, he didn't think it was going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, somebody there believed it was.
Yeah.
Listen, all it takes is one person praying to get through.
Yeah.
Just one. And it only takes one preacher preaching a message from the Bible that is from one God of this Bible.
Yep.
Don't you notice something? There are some practices today that will rob the present, and I want to cover these with you. Let's go over to 2 Samuel chapter 12. These are some practices today that will rob the present if you're not careful. Here they are, 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Second Samuel chapter 12. If you'll start reading with me down at verse 15, the Bible says, "And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick." What happened here? David had had an affair. He had had a man killed so he could cover up the fact that he had had that affair. She got pregnant. Of course, David sent that man out to the hottest part of the battle. He got killed. Then he took this woman in who was already pregnant with his child. Nathan shows up to him and preaches a simple message to him. Thou art the man. He gives David a couple of scenarios and asks him, what would you do? And he tells him what he'd do. And he said, thou art the man. Then we see this, the child got sick, verse 16. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to us, but our voice, and unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? They said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou did fast and weep for the child while he is yet alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Past grief will rob the present.
Yeah.
Past grief will rob the present. You can walk around and tell people everything's fine, but if you don't learn how to mourn the death of a loved one, past grief will always rob the present. There's a lot of things that people do as far as bereavement and grief and things like that, but the number one thing to do is this. I see that when David found out that child was dead, he didn't say, let's have visitation on Wednesday night from 6 to 8.
Come on.
He went to the house of God and worshiped.
That's right.
Yeah. Listen, if something ever happens to me like this, I don't know if I can come here and lead a service, but I sure could come and worship.
Yeah.
Listen, you got to learn to grieve, and you got to learn to get that past grief over with, or it'll follow you around the rest of your life, and it will rob you of one thing that you didn't think you'd ever get, and that's today. See, that past grief will rob the present. David said this, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Where was that baby? Heaven.
Amen.
Where do all babies go that die? Heaven.
Amen.
Until John Calvin and everybody reached behind him, I said so.
Amen.
I had to sit in a Bible class one time where there's 23 of us, and I was the youngest one in class, so they gave me the last day of devotions. The other 22 gentlemen in that class were all Calvinists. I heard it every day. And the 5 points of Calvinism are, near this, near this, near this. And on my day, we had a question and answer session. Here's the question. Where do babies go when they die?
Come on.
And all them hands went up. I said, put your hands down. Don't want to hear it. Been listening to y'all for 22 straight days, how y'all hate God, hate the Bible, correct the Bible. Let's see where the Bible says the babies go.
How about that? Yeah. Come on.
Had one guy come up to me after the thing and said this. He said, I had a child that died. He said, Calvin's wrong.
About that.
You might not believe it until it happens to you, but once it happens to you, you'll see this thing clearly. Past grief will rob your present. If you walk around and listen, I remember when I first became pastor of this church, we was out on visitation for the second week, and boy, we was having a time. All the old devils had left because the last preacher, they didn't come back to see the new preacher and all that stuff. It goes wrong when you come the new guy.
Yeah.
But out on visitation, when I come back, my grandpa, who had a great deal of and loving and helping raise me and take care of me like I was his own son, had died. He hadn't been himself in a number of years. In fact, by the time I got saved, I, for years I asked him as a lost man, how do you make liquor? He wouldn't tell me. Because he had gotten saved and knew if I ever found out, I'd start that stuff and get in a real mess. But once I got saved and he got out of his mind, he called me up there one day in the nursing home and said, I got something I've been meaning to tell you. That's what I said. Right there to stand. That's how you make liquor. And I said, Grandpa, I said, we're about too late for all that. He said, oh, okay. And then he didn't, you know, then he proceeded to tell me every bit of it, you know. Now that I know I won't, you know. It's a funny thing how that mind goes. You get older, you'll say things you never thought you'd say, and you get older sometimes. And listen, you get out of your mind, you'll tell all them things you've done in the past. Be careful, little sins. Listen, you ever read that thing about be sure little sins will find you out? It may find you out in a nursing home bed one day. I'll never forget my grandma who just took everything he said seriously. Now, you're going to have to quit talking. You're telling too much. I said, my goodness, he's telling too much.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I went in there and we was going to have the funeral and everything, and we'll get in there and do the funeral. And I ended up doing the funeral. You thought I was talking in tongues, going, I couldn't even talk. Crying. Cried through the whole thing. Now listen to me. I learned something from my grandpa that I want to tell you. He told me when I was a little boy, he said, I won't be here to know whether you do it or not. He said, but I don't want you to bring flowers to my grave. I don't want you to sit around and cry about me. He said, if I've not done something to make you happy in your lifetime, he said, forget all about me.
Well,
and I never forgot that thing. And every funeral I preach, I'm reminded on that little card they hand out, there's a little dash between them dates. That's where the funeral got preached, right there. I'm just up there telling the gospel and maybe remembering the person if I knew them.
Right.
But that little dash, that tells everything about you.
Sure.
If I didn't know you and you died and I thought you were a pretty good person, I'd get up and say, that's a good brother right here, good sister right here, and all this other stuff. But if you wasn't, there'd be somebody out there who'd know it.
That's right.
They'd know. Yeah. They'd know about that little dash right there.
Yeah.
They'd say, you know what? That preacher lied, or maybe he didn't know. Usually they don't give us benefit of the doubt. They just say we lied.
Yeah.
But I know this, that past grief, if you don't get over that thing, it'll rob today from you. There's people walk around, daddy died, grandpa died, child died, mother died, sister died, brother died, and to this day they've never got over it because they never learned to grieve that person.
Right.
You know what you got to do? Listen to this. You got to pick yourself off that bed of mourning. Take them black clothes off, put on today's clothes, worship the Lord, and let God heal your wounds.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God is known as the Comforter. When He comes to live inside you and you first get saved, you think to yourself, my God, the greatest weight I've ever picked or didn't even know was on me has been lifted from me. He's there as He walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death, and He is there to comfort you during those times. Don't let past grief rob you of the present.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, let me tell you something. You know what my grandpa did when his grandpa died? He lived the rest of his life, and that's what we got to do.
Yeah. Amen.
You can't let that past grief rob the present. If you look over at Job 19... It's some practices today to help you keep the past from robbing the present. Job 19. I've heard folks that don't know the Bible try to get up and preach Job being sinless. Job had a sin. His sin was pride. And in Job 19, verse 23, the Bible says this, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Oh, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job, while he prophesies about Jesus, pride slips out in that first statement we read. Oh, that my words were written in a book. Listen to this. Don't let past glories rob you of the present. Don't let past glories rob you of the present. For those of you today that are football fans and hate football, I'm going to tell this story. Especially those of you that hate football. And nobody's talking about Colin Kaepernick or nothing like that. We're talking about real football players like Ken Stabler, Roger Staubach, Billy Kilmer, his name just skipped, Bart Starr, them men, Nitschke, real ball players. Ed Too Tall Jones, real ball players. If you let your past glories stay in front of you, you will never do nothing today.
Amen.
Let me tell you about a guy. Listen to this. Back years ago, there was a guy that came into Dallas as the most hated man in the world because he fired Tom Landry. Tom Landry had been their coach. He had been their only coach. Took them five separate teams to the Super Bowls, won two of them, appeared in about eight different NFC championship games. One of the greatest coaches of all time. Loved the Lord. Didn't cuss his ball players. None of that stuff. You follow that guy and him being on what they call America's team, yeah, you're going to be the most hated man in the world. Because, see, all that past glory he had, it could have robbed that team of their present. But he said, I bought this team and I want to go forward. Years later, Jerry Jones will say that was the dumbest thing he's ever done was to fire Tom Landry. Dumbest thing. But the guy he hired wasn't worried about them two Super Bowl trophies he walked by in that office every day. He wasn't worried about how many coaching accolades that Mr. Landry had. He would go into the team every day and say, we got to do it today. 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 There was a guy that took over one of the hottest coaching jobs in America because at the time, Al Davis was the owner of the Raiders, and he's not an easy person to get along with. In fact, when you deal with Al Davis, you better have a lawyer present. I think Al's dead now, but if you dealt with him, you better have a lawyer present so his lawyer didn't say you said something you didn't say. That's the kind of guy Al was. He sued everybody. When he died, he had three active lawsuits against the NFL as the owner of the Raiders. What a guy, man. He hired Tom Flores to coach that team. Everybody in this room knows who John Madden is or you've heard of him. But you hadn't really, some of you don't know who Tom Flores is. He's the guy that come in behind him. You don't replace legends. And when you see somebody come in that's got to live off the past of somebody else, Flores wasn't one of those guys. In 1980, he took a wild card team to the Super Bowl for the first time and beat the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles because he wasn't worried about what John Madden did and what the Raiders had and their legacy. He said, let's do it right now. And when the Redskins were the hottest team in the NFL, they went down to Tampa to play the Super Bowl against the Raiders. Everybody that bet on ball games bet on the Redskins. They beat the Dolphins last year. They're going to be repeat champions. That's all you heard. Except in one locker room, and that guy said, the owner of this team says, just win, baby. He said, we're going out there and win, baby. And when Howie Long had picked off one of those passes, not Howie Long, but that linebacker picked off that pass for the second half run in the end zone, everybody in America was going, they're not supposed to be ahead right now. Third quarter, Marcus Allen runs into a group on the right side of the line, and they hit him, and rather him fall down, he spun around, went around this side, and took off with the longest touchdown run in Super Bowl history. They said, he ain't supposed to be doing that. Did the Raiders forget the script? Or were they not worried about last year's Super Bowl? Were they not worried about John Madden and breaking John Madden's record for winning two Super Bowls with that team instead of one? See, there's a time in your Christian life when you were up here. You were living for Jesus, and you knew an answered prayer just means you got down and prayed, God's going to do it. That was yesterday. Today's today.
Right.
There's a lot of people that go around their Christian life, and they live off those past stories. Oh, that their words are written in the book, and they could tell you how to do it. Don't tell us how to do it. do it now.
Right now.
We've not arrived. We've not apprehended. We're not in heaven yet. The game ain't over. The season has not ended.
Right.
We've got to keep on going.
Yeah.
You know, one of the saddest things I see sometimes is how people just quit on God.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll absolutely quit. I ran into a man one time, and I began to share the gospel with him, and he told me this. He said, "Do you know that when I got saved, it was down there on Cherokee Avenue." He said, "Two of these guys come to my house. They come in and talk to me about the Lord." He said, "I got saved." And he said, "And the guy that was the quiet guy and that little thing when they come visited me, he was just starting out in church, just got saved like I did." And he said, I eventually, he took me out soul winning. And we went out and won this guy. And he ended up, he come to our church. He was a good man. He said, "Do you know that when we led that guy to the Lord, he didn't come to our church because he lived so far away from us." He said, "But he went to a church after he got saved, lived for Jesus for a long time, and God called him to preach." He said, "When we got without a pastor," he said, "I contacted that young man. He came to our church as our pastor. And before he turned the age of 40, he ended up dying with something. For whatever reason, that man got out of church, but he's still living on them past glories." You know what he wasn't doing? He wasn't living for the Lord that day. Because if I have to share the gospel with you thinking you're a lost man, there may be something I saw that makes me think you're not saved.
Right.
You say, "How very judgmental. I've worked 47 years of my life to be this way. You ain't going to change me by your little Hillary Clinton opinion, so just keep it to yourself."
Yes.
But I know this. Jesus said, "Judge righteous judgment," in John chapter 7.
Yeah.
And that means you look for Him in somebody. If you can't find Him, you try to put Him there.
Yeah.
Isn't it bad when a saved man has somebody witness to him because they think they lost, they living that far away from God? Don't live off them past glories. Don't live off the past glories of, I've won this many people to the Lord. How many are you going to last week, today? I used to give out gospel tracts by the thousands. How many give out now? How many is in your pocket right now?
Yeah.
See, a lot of folks live off them past glories. Well, I remember back when we'd have prayer meetings. And why not have one today?
Come on.
I see a lot of problems in people's thinking. They let that past glory get the best of them.
Yeah.
One of the saddest things in the world, is when people, all they can talk about is the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one church I remember going to, and all they talked about was 40 years ago we did this, and 40 years ago we did that, and 40 years ago we did this, and 40 years ago we did that, and 40 years. And the age gap in that church was incredible. You were either 80 or 8 in that church. There was no middle ground. You know why? They let past glories rob their present. What happened to this gap right here? Oh, you can go to the research institutes and everything else you want to, but I'm going to tell you what happened. They never got over them past glories.
Right.
There's a thing about remembering, but there's also a thing about letting past glories rob you of your present.
Mm-hmm.
It took Job how many chapters to get right with God in this book?
Uh-huh.
It's 42 long. God shows up in chapter 37. He could have showed up in chapter 3. You know who kept him from it? It wasn't Job's friends. It was Job.
Come on.
Get up. Listen to this. Let's look over 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down at verse number 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." This guy writing this is Apostle Paul. He had Christians put to death while he was a lost man. He didn't kill them, but he had it done. You know what God calls that? Murder. Who does he charge with it? The guy that's got it in his heart. Which would have been him. He is Saul of Tarsus. He's a Pharisee. And he said, I persecuted the church of God. You read over in Acts chapter 7 where when they go to stone Philip, they laid the coats down at Saul's feet. You read in Acts chapter 8, he got papers from the Most High Council to go out and have Christians arrested so he could bring them back there and have them put to death.
Yeah.
Look at this. He says, but verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am."
Yeah.
You thought Popeye said that first. "And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Can I tell you today that past guilt can rob you of your presence? Past guilt can rob you of your presence. How so? Well, he said, I persecuted the church of God. That was in the past. If Paul would have sat around all day and said, you know what? Here's Acts chapter 9 coming up. Paul's life. He's got the papers in his hand. He's on the Damascus Road. He's headed to have Christians arrested. Christ comes to him.
Yep.
Why persecutest thou me? Had he sinned? You better believe it.
Mom.
He wasn't attacking the church. He is attacking Jesus. May we all be warned that when you walk out these doors and attack a church, you are attacking the Lord.
Right.
I ain't talking about some reprobate outfit that, you know, has elephants and balloons. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about a church where they preach the gospel, where the Bible reigns supreme as the final authority. That's a church.
Yeah.
And listen to this. When he walked out, he's on his way out there to Damascus, here's Christ. He said, you've been persecuting me. Well, after he gets saved, he starts going to church. He starts learning from his pastor and everything. And he's sitting there and he gets in this thing right here. He said, I persecuted the church. You know, that could have followed him all his ministry and him never really do anything for the Lord.
Yeah.
He could have said, you know what? I'm not worthy to do this because I have guilt in my life. I have sinned. And I don't doubt there's a person today among us that hadn't sinned since the day you got saved.
Yeah. Right.
For those of you perfect people, you are a liar.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't say so. God said so.
Yeah. Right.
But I know this much. Past guilt of what you did in the past can rob you of what you're supposed to be doing today.
That's right.
I've had people come up and they'll say, well, how does such and such do such and such, knowing what they've done? It's called the grace of God, and you better plug in and get you a good old dose of it while you've got breath in your lungs.
Right.
You better understand what the blood of Jesus did for sinners.
Yes.
You better understand how God didn't forget your sin. The Bible says He chose to remember it no more.
Right.
He put it as far as from the east is to the west. He put it behind His back. And listen, He buried it in the depths of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then put up a no fishing sign for the devil.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. You can sit around and you can have your past guilt of how sorry you are. Or you can get up and get with it and quit being robbed by that thief. I know that a lot of times, especially here in this town, when I told God I'd go anywhere, I didn't mean here. I really didn't. I was thinking Africa, China, Russia, you know, or what do they call that thing down there? The Cayman Islands, something where it's warm, you know, something like that. I would have even went to Mexico or Saudi Arabia, somewhere where there's sunlight, you know. But having to come back here, I found out that the words of the Bible are true. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and among his own kin.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Right.
Around my family, my extended family, my cousins, all that, why don't we let the preacher lead us in prayer? I know. It don't bother me. You know why? They know me better than I know me, I think. They remember things me and God both try to forget, okay? But here's the fact of the matter. I can't let that past guilt rob what I need to do today. If I sat around and said, you know what? I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. I shouldn't be standing where I am today. You know what? I would remove myself from the grace of God.
Right.
Because it wasn't my performance that got me saved.
Right.
It was the performance of Jesus Christ that got us saved.
That's right.
It wasn't my guilt that God dealt with. It was my sins that God dealt with.
Yeah.
It wasn't my guilt that He wiped away. It was my tears.
Right.
But listen, you walk around in life, there's people who go on in life and they let past guilt rob them of everything they're supposed to be doing for Jesus Christ today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can look at it this way. There's two people in this world who keeps a record on you that don't forgive. The devil and the police.
Yeah, yeah.
The police for good reason. Because listen to this. If you get a DUI today, you need to go to jail and lose your license.
Right. Yeah.
And you need to prove yourself before you get them back, not on a moped.
Right.
Amen.
That's just wrong.
Yeah.
I don't believe they learned the lesson of not having a license and not having transportation in that manner. That's my opinion, though. But I do promise you this. If the police show up to your house and you got a record a mile long, and they look at you and say, "What have you done now?" and you ain't done nothing, there's a reason why they're like that. They're not forgiving. And here's the thing, they're not supposed to be. Because the law in the Bible is unforgiving. The devil is not forgiving because he wants to constantly remind you of your past guilt. While you may try to put it out of the way and God has covered it in the blood, he has a very vivid memory of how you used to be and what you used to do and who you used to do it with. If you've ever done anything wrong, he'll always know it. But you can't let him rob that thing. You've got to get around that thing and go forward for him, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because past guilt can rob your presence. Look up Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. A couple pages over. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. Now here's a longer list that we would preach it and say this is all lost people, but Paul says they save people. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Right.
Don't let past grudges rob you of the present.
Right.
Learn to forgive and learn it quickly.
That's right.
I know sometimes when people do us wrong and we forgive them, they'll never come back and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Don't be like them.
Right.
Don't be like them.
Amen.
Go on with life. Go on with Jesus.
Right.
I see that these past grudges we run into, where we need to forgive one another, can only happen if we do one thing. Listen closely. Forgive one another.
Right.
There's people right now that you probably can't speak to that you've forgiven, but do forgive them.
Well,
are you listening to me?
Right.
Don't let them past grudges rob you.
Right.
Because if you do, your entire life will be hanging on that first sin listed up there, and it's called bitterness.
Right.
Everything you post on Facebook, if you put a Bible verse, is for somebody that's done you wrong. And you ain't got the guts to call them on the phone and tell them you got a problem with them. You big old chicken, you. You told how about you took out a whole entire ball when you was in the Marines and one Navy guy said something, you took his by his ankles and beat the rest of them out with him. You tough guy, you. You was in the Navy and some guy jabber-jawed in the thing and you said, "Shut up, that ain't Navy talk, that's Army talk." And 10 Army men stood up and you took them all out because you was the baddest man on the planet. You was with your motorcycle club and you was in a thing one night and a guy walked in with different colors and it was you. And all them guys said, "You can't come in here," and you whooped all of them. You tough, man, you tough. But then you got saved, you got in church, and somebody said something to you out of the way one day.
Uh-oh.
And now you the biggest chicken on the face of God's green earth and you won't forgive nobody and you ain't got the guts to call them and tell them.
Yep.
What happened, tough guy? What happened, biker guy that could whoop all of them? What happened? What happened, man? You know, back when you was in high school, you could whoop the whole volleyball team and them gals was kind of tough back then. No forgiveness. All you got's bitterness. What followed it? Look at this. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. All that follows unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Don't let past grudges rob you of the present.
Yep.
You know, I see people from time to time that they'll swear they've forgiven people, but all this other stuff's there. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. All in there.
Yep.
Why? They've never got down on their knees and forgiven somebody for what...
Right.
Let me tell you something. Look at that verse 32 again. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yep.
Let's review the cases here. Here's what you've done. God forgive it.
Yep.
Here's what somebody done against you. You don't forgive it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this hand?
Well,
Remember what happened over here?
Yeah.
Is this forgiven? Yeah, God forgive it. Mm-hmm. You know what you got to do? Put it behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive. Go on.
Hey.
I remember back years ago, you'll never believe this when I tell you this, I got a speeding ticket and wasn't doing a thing. Excuse me, they said I run a red light, not a speeding ticket. My friend Brad, we was doing something, and he said, here, just take my truck and drive it to work. And there's this guy, of all things, named Philip, was right there beside me at the red light where Walgreens is now. It was a furniture store. Two cops sitting right there, looking right at us. I looked at him, saw him, waved at him. I would tell you the name of the cop, but I don't want to, you know, what's under the blood is under the blood, right? We pulled up that red light, and Philip looked at me and went, and pulled right through that red light. No cars coming, no harm, no foul. Then the light turned green, I pulled off. And all of a sudden, behind me, I see blue lights. I thought, they're going to get him. Mm-mm, they couldn't got me. He's in a station wagon, I'm in a pickup truck. There's no way they got that wrong.
Yeah.
He pulled me over and says, you run that red light back there. I said, beg your pardon? I said, I didn't run the red light. Oh, yes, you did. I saw you. I said, you were sitting right back there at that furniture store. I said, I saw you. I waved at you.
Yeah.
He said, well, I'm writing you a ticket for $55 running that red light. And I thought, is this a joke? I mean, I'm the guy in the right lane, the guy in the left lane running the light right in front of him. And he come got me. And I knew he could have caught him because he was in a station wagon. Didn't it go too fast? And I got mad about that thing. They said he said, listen, I understand that you're upset. He said, you got a court date coming. If you want to fight it, you fight it. So I did. I walked right into City Hall, and it was the yellow brick building down there. Walked right in there. Walked right in that courtroom. That judge called us all to whatever, you know, but he started hearing cases, and he got to mine. I represented myself. I put that cop on the stand and questioned him right there in front of God and everybody and caught him in two lies. And then I learned a very valuable lesson. Judge said, is that all? I said, that's all. Guilty. Pay the $55. I was considering a career in law about halfway through that thing. And I thought to myself, how did that happen? I mean, I've been watching Matlock. But I had her nailed down.
Yeah.
I was even throwing some Barnaby Jones in there, if you remember who he is.
Yeah.
I've done my own detective work. But the funniest thing happened was I walked out of that courtroom day minus $55 and a big old grudge on my shoulders for years. I let that thing rob me for a long time. When I got saved, they told me to forgive everybody that done everything wrong to me, and that guy's name was right on my lips as soon as that preacher told me that thing when he was leading me to the Lord. You know, they tell you to just ask God to forgive you your sins and ask Him to save you. I named out everything I knew, and that cop was one of them. That preacher told me when I got through fessing up there, and he said, you didn't have to tell all that in front of me. I said, I wasn't talking to you, but don't tell nobody. But I'm telling you, that thing can rob you of grudge like that.
Right.
I'm talking 15, 16 years old, all the way to 24. That thing robbed me all them years. I hated cops because of him. It wasn't the cops, it was just that one. And I assumed that they wore the same badge as him, as guilty of the same things he done to me, crooked. Amen. Listen, I didn't say I was doing 75 and a 35 and he caught me. I wasn't doing anything and he got a ticket. Now, here's something to consider. What about all the times I was doing something that I didn't get caught?
Uh-oh.
You know, this universe has a way of self-correcting itself sometimes. But I do know this, you can let past grudges like that affect what you're doing today.
That's right.
Churches everywhere Brother Mitch goes, he and Brother Jason, Brother Red, every time you stand up in front of that church, you can always spot them.
Yeah.
You know who they are? They're the keepers of the grudge.
Yep.
They're mad from the last business meeting. Or was it 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. You can't tell by looking at your face. They're so mad. What are they mad at? That grudge, man. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know how they did me. No, but what did you do to God? How many times did you curse His name? How many times did you go against Him?
Right.
And He said, I forgive you and love you. You can't forgive something? Time to grow up, Christian.
Yeah.
Be a big Christian.
Yeah.
Put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamoring, and forgive one another as God forgave you. Don't let the past rob the present. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.